You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Daniel and chapter 9. And we have been of late looking at the light in the light of the Old Testament prophets into the future, so that we have a composite pieces to see into the future, so that we can understand how it's going to go. And so here we are at the coming to Daniel, as we took a little time to do. And Daniel is has vision after vision, three of them. And in the process, he is brought face to face with the times of the Gentiles, chapter 2, and the times of the Gentiles, looking at the great image of the man. The image of the man is really, from heaven's viewpoint, a wild beast, a terrible wild beast. What you're building and what you're having on earth is not good. So, keeping that in mind, and in the light of our day in which we live, which has a lot of activity going on, a lot of things happening worldwide. And so therefore, as they all happen, and you want to keep in mind as things are happening, and as we look at God's Word, here we are looking, and here's the Arab world, and here's the Quran, and here's all the Arab nations. But they're committed. They're committed to death, to destroy Israel. They never changed that. Never changed it. And so no matter what happens and how it goes, they're committed to it. It's part of their, it's the, a key to their main thrust going forward. So what you got going on, you got to think of that. And also, I heard it from good authority, I think. And here's the situation in New York City, and that relationship goes right back to Qatar and to the leadership in Qatar. And that's interesting. That gentleman represents Qatar in New York City, and then you go to Minneapolis, Illinois, you go to London, all over, and what have you got? And then you got all the other activity to set, being financed, pushed. So it isn't a free thing. That you're getting paid for it, riots and everything, to keep, so you're going after policemen and stuff. And that's horrible. That's just horrible. But that's what we got. Now, that's your world that you live in. And it's exciting because things are going to switch around all kinds of ways. Now, having said that, here's God's Word. And God is looking at some pieces again, so you see it. In chapter 9, remember, in Daniel, this is two or three years more in Daniel chapter 9 in the year of Darius, and that's 339, 539. And in two or three years, the 70 years are up. 70 years from 605, they're up. They're finished. So here's Daniel, and Daniel, as we shared last time, got to pull the book of Jeremiah off the shelf and read it, as we read in chapter 9, and that's what he did. And he saw it. He said, boy, God, it's almost now. So therefore, we went over in chapter 9, and we didn't do it, but it's a great, one of the great prophecies of Scripture. And in chapter 9, verse 25, 70 years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgressions, etc., etc. Not taking time to read all that. Now, 70, and the word weeks is 7, so 70 times 7 is 490 years, and 490 years, and then you turn the page, And so God, Daniel, is given, giving us, he has a thing in front of him, and the angel is going to say, listen, this is how it's going to go. You don't have to guess. In Noah's day, it was 120 years. Have to guess about it? And now here's a straight right down the road, 490 years, and then you go and, you know, well, doing all this. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, the walls, the moat, everything, and that's going to take, and that's in Nehemiah chapter 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So therefore, the command was given, and the prince shall be 7 years, Messiah the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So in other words, we're going to have it's 49 years actually, 49 years, and then in verse 25, 62 weeks, 62 times 7, 434 years, 434 years equals 438 years. A year is governed not like ours. It's governed prophetically by 360 days per year. So it's different. And therefore, here's the multiply it up, thousands, pages, thousands. And you follow it and take 800, remember it's 490 years. But here's 483 years. We got 7 years left. Now, what are you saying? In 434 years, what are we going to find? 483 years, I should say. You're going to find what? Christ is going to be crucified. You can count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 360 days in a year. And you can count it out and do all that. Now, and therefore, as you can pick it up in verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. The word cut off is to sacrifice an animal, to slaughter, to kill. Christ is going to be crucified in 483 years. Now you turn the pages and go right up, boom. You come up right up to it. So now, and understanding all the variations of the special days and all of that stuff. Now, so here's that. And add to that now, so we got the crucifixion. And now, and keep in mind now, in verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come. Now who was in there? Who took down that city? Who did that? Titus. Rome. Feet of iron, toes of iron and clay. Toes of iron and clay. What happened? The prince, Titus, leveled the city and scattered the Jews. That's what he did. Now, and therefore, the prince, so that shall come, in verse 26, shall destroy the city, which he did. And our Lord's saying that in Luke, etc., he tells you that. It's the times of the Gentiles, and if you were paying attention, Jerusalem's going to get clobbered in 40 years. Titus is going to level that city. If anyone's listening, said the Lord. So now, and after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So what we're going to follow through, times of the Gentiles, Titus, the feet of iron, Daniel chapter 2, and the toes of iron and clay. So verse 27, He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Remember the word week? 7. What are we missing? We need 7 more years, as you know. You got 483 years. We need 7 more to hit 490. because Daniel was told 490 years, and we got it. So now, here comes the second seven, and the second seven is going to come in. Second seven comes in and went for what? So that what Daniel can understand and read it. It's awful. Daniel has to rethink everything all the time. So in chapter 10, but chapter 9, verse 27, the word confirm, to be strong, intensive, strong, to be firm. The Antichrist is going to make a treaty with Israel for 7 years. That's what he's going to do. We all know that. Seven more years, 490 years. So that's what he's doing. What's he going to do? Right now, it's a time of grace. God's being gracious before the wrath of God comes up in the future. So the Antichrist is going to go and make a treaty with Israel for 7 years. But that's all. And then it's not going to work. He's going to break all of that treaty in an awesome way. Now, so therefore, sliding over if I can, over to chapter 12. And before you, chapter 10, 11, and 12 are the last, that's the last little block of information that Daniel gets. It's the last one. And you'll notice in chapter 10, always giving dates. And in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, etc. So, always giving the time, always telling you what. Now, what's that year? 536. 536. And what happens in 536? Well, that's the last vision that Daniel's going to see. The temple has been started, 536. The temple's been started, and the 70 years have finished. 70 years are now finished, 536. The temple is going to be started in the days of Nehemiah, Ezra, and before that. And in the process, Daniel's going to die. So this is the last thing. Maybe they say 85, who knows? We don't know. We figured he started at 15 maybe. So we don't know that. So now, having said that, back over to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, if I can. And all of it's connected, tying it together. So what's going to happen in Israel? Well, Israel's going to make, well, I'm going to pick it up and just don't go out of order. Chapter 11, verse 45. And this is when the big confrontation in the middle of the tribulation. And 3.5 years is the middle. The next 3.5 years are terrible, terrible, terrible years. The first part's terrible, terrible, terrible. The last 3.5 are terrible, terrible, terrible. That's what they are, terrible years. Now, and so, here's all the world busy trying to bring about what they're doing, as you'll see. And in verse 45, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. That's the Antichrist. Now that, when you slide from verse 45, you go immediately to chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, so you know, at that time, all these things are happening. So, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of the people. And there shall be a time of trouble, great trouble, awesome trouble we'll look at, such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered. God's going to rescue them through the tribulation. And every one that shall be found found written in the book, Book of Life, etc. Now, having said that little bit, put all of that, starting to put that together. So go over, if you know all these things anyway, so over to Daniel. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, chapter 4, as you remember, and in Deuteronomy in chapter 4, picking up, if I may, in verse 30. Remember now, they haven't crossed the Jordan yet. They're going to cross the Jordan. They haven't done that, but they're clued in. Before they even take the land, they're clued in of how it's going to go. Boy, we got a good time. But don't hold your breath. Don't. That good time isn't going to stay. Not going to stay. So, in chapter 4, you know, I'll read it, pick up verse 27. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left for few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you. Remember, think of Titus in 70 AD, etc. And so all that, you're going to seek the Lord with all your heart. Verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto his voice, the tribulation is what's going to wake you up. We've got to go all the way through times of the Gentiles. We've got to go all the way through it. Through the time of grace, here we are. But you have to finish this, and Israel has to go through the tribulation and sign a treaty with the Antichrist for 7 years. That's what just has to be. So, now, keeping that in mind, so he tells you tribulation, there's no question, a tribulation is going to be. And now, to see that, over if I can, over to Matthew and chapter 24. Matthew and chapter 24. Now remember, Messiah is going to be cut off, etc., and the Antichrist is going to do what he does when he makes a treaty for 7 years. Now, and Michael is going to be the angel for Israel's protection. So, and in chapter 24, you recall, the Lord gives the wonderful chapters 24 and 25 about how history is going to go. And when you come to verse 14, and that gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, the prophet, stand in the holy place, the temple that's going to be rebuilt. When you see that, in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, etc. Run as fast as you can, because that's the middle of the tribulation, and the Antichrist is going to go and set up his image in the temple. And everything's going to change. All's going to change very fast. Now, and having said that, and keeping that in mind, and so therefore you know when you read, the image, when you see the image, Revelation chapter 13. And in Revelation chapter 13, and you will note. May I go to pick it up, or you'll catch it. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast, the Antichrist, the first one, false prophet, the second one. And I beheld another beast, a wild beast, coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon, as the devil. He exerciseth all the power of the first beast, the Antichrist. Before him he causes the earth and them that which dwell therein to worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in this sight. And the beast saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, Antichrist, which had the wound, remember the wound, we didn't do all that, but had the wound by a sword and did live. He died and resurrected, came again alive. Verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So God's going to take an image. When you see the Matthew 24, when you see the image set up, you run as fast as you can. You get out and run to Petra. Do whatever you're going to do. Go find a place to hide. That's what you're going to have to do. So, and having said that and keeping that in mind, and also now, tie that together, over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. And in chapter 2. And 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. And what do we have? Here's that God's, the Antichrist is going to put his image in the temple. And you already know this, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 4. I'll read verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, but that day shall not come, except there will come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's why the image is set up. That's why the image is so powerful. To what? Boy, this is something else. And that's what you're going to do. So that's the Antichrist and doing all of that. Now, so what's that going to produce all of, when that happens in the middle of the tribulation? Over to Jeremiah and then chapter 30. And you'll remember from my study of Jeremiah, sliding if I can, of chapter 30, a picking up if I may in verse 6. 30 and 6, Jeremiah. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hand on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. In other words, it's a terrible time. Verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. God's going to save him anyway. But he's going to have to go through the tribulation, as we read and shared before. So here we are looking, and God is going to go and do what he does because he's God. Israel has not done well by God. Over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel in 36 again. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, picking up if I may, and you'll catch it It's a wonderful little section. Chapter 36, verse 19. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doing. I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, Babylon and each one of them, the Gentile nations, and when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned, made common, my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land, they made God look bad. Verse 21. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Verse 22. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes. No, it's not about you guys. It's not about you, and don't give yourself such a position. It's not about you. You've made it look bad for the only God and the only Savior. Verse 22. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned, made common among the heathen, whither you went. Verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen Gentiles shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified and set apart in you before their eyes. I'm going to judge them. I'm going to judge you, Israel. And they're all going to look. And how can Israel get clobbered? God's going to show them. And God's going to clobber Israel, allow them to get clobbered. And then he's going to save them. And then he's going to save them. I'll show the world. I'll show the world. I'm going to make Israel understand they're guilty as can be. And I'm going to honor my name. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over I can to Romans chapter 11. And Romans chapter 11. And picking up in thought, chapter 11, if I can, in verse 25. 11:25, Romans. For I would not, brethren, have that you should be ignorant of this mystery, that God would let this happen to Israel, let Israel get clobbered. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in. And, verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. God's going to do his wonderful work in his most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, as you're going to go and do what you do, back over to Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel chapter 2, picking up by me. Daniel chapter 2, where are you, Daniel? Chapter 12. Chapter 12. Okay. Now, chapter 12. Now, picking up, if I may, in verse 12, chapter 12, and we read verse 1 at that time. And God's going to have a time. Now, in verse 2, And many of them that sleep, they're going to die, sleeping, dying. Sleep in the dust of the earth. Many of the shall sleep in the dust of the earth and shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt and a pouring, a turning. They're going to wake up to the fact that, boy, have they got a long time to think about it. One long time to think forever. Boy, did we goof. I don't think it'll be that easy. Boy, did we goof. We're going to realize what we did when you're resurrected to the second death. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so, all if I can in Revelation, if I can, and picking up, please, in the chapter. Oh, Revelation chapter 20. Well, yeah, Revelation 20. And you'll note, Revelation chapter 20, and picking up, please. And what do you know? Well, God's going to have resurrections. And the resurrection, and you know from, well, hold your finger here in Revelation chapter 20, and go over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you will note, and chapter 15, picking up if I may, going if I can, oh, to verse 20. And now is Christ risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. In other words, no one can be resurrected in an eternal body until Christ had to die on the cross to make it all possible. Verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ it is coming. Just think of the Rose Parade, famous Rose Parade. And here comes the first thing, float. Christ is in the first float down. And because Christ is there, Christ rose again, then here come we following. We're following. Right in the following. And God, you're going to do that. That's God, you're going to do that. The rapture, you're going to save us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You're going to change us. Right. So, that's a resurrection. But the Old Testament saints, the tribulation saints, Moses, David, Abraham, John the Baptist, they have to wait to the end of the tribulation. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. There's a resurrection unto eternal life, and a resurrection, the second part, is a resurrection to damnation. So one is to heaven, and the other is to hell. And they have risen to him. So they're all going. But the Old Testament saints, we go first. Why are we going first? Among many reasons, we're the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and he's the body. And his body has to be united with the head first. That has to happen. Then the rest of it can happen. Then the tribulation. Then all the rest. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, back over to Revelation and in chapter 20. And you will remember Verse 24. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God during the tribulation, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the Old Testament saints. After the tribulation, all the tribulation saints will be there. They're all going to be there. And that's what God's going to do in his most wonderful way, in his wonderful time. And then you know the second part, judgment to eternal death. And back over to chapter 4. And picking up, please, a little more, you'll see it. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, or such as and such the second death hath no power. In other words, you can't die anymore. God has given you eternal life. And that, when did God start giving you eternal life? The moment you received him as your Savior. And that can never stop. The only thing you can do is get better. You could enjoy better, like we keep saying to each other, you can enjoy it better now. But people don't do that. But you'll certainly enjoy it when you go home. You'll certainly enjoy it then. No question. Now, so, if I can, verse 7, when the 1,000 years were expired, the Satan shall be loosed for a season, etc., etc. And then comes the great white throne judgment, chapter 20, verse 10. And chapter 20, verse 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And when the beast and the false prophet, and that's what you read, remember when you read Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, and the devil, the Antichrist, will have no one to help him. And Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel 28, I'm going to make him, he wanted to be the man. I'm going to put him at the bottom of the barrel, and he'll be ashamed, as it were. No one will honor him. They'll all know they were fools to trust him. That's what they will know. Now, so having said that, keeping that little bit, so, God, you have to help us in every way. So, here comes the 70 years. And as we shared, the 70 years have ended. So now, picking up, if we can, now, where are we? Where are we then? Well, we're here. And you got a little bit to see a lot of things are going to happen. And you just all kinds of different ways to see it, to understand it, are going to happen. And they're surely going to happen. You say, it won't going to happen. Yes, they is. They're going to happen. They're going to happen. That's, you can count on it. They will. No, they won't. Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if I can, over to Revelation and chapter 3. And to the church in Philadelphia. Remember all the seven churches, let's think of Greece, Turkey, and just go like in a horseshoe, and you got all seven churches like that. Now, so, Revelation chapter 3, if I can, verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. God takes care of it all. Verse 8, I know thy works Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, not a lot, we're just hanging in there, a little strength, and thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before you, before thy face, and to know that I have loved thee. Because, verse 10, reason, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, endurance. The word patience, bearing up under the load, carrying the load down the corridor of time, not dropping it, you carry it, you're under the load, you do it. You hang in there till it's finished. Endurance. Now, so therefore, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the earth, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's a promise, he said. I'm going to keep you. You're not going to go through the tribulation. You're not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. What do you mean you're not going to do it? God for believers. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Christ isn't going to have us go representing his wonderful person through the tribulation. He isn't going to do that. No, he isn't. Now, why? That's his worst body. He just isn't going to do that, along with a dozen other reasons. Now, so in the process, God's going to keep us from that hour, the great tribulation, great like none other on earth, none other that has ever happened on planet earth. Now, God, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to be patient, my patience. Therefore, over to Romans. And Romans in chapter 15. And you will note, Romans in chapter 15, picking up, if I may, and you'll catch it, chapter 15, in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, we've been reading them, were written for our learning. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to be good students and understand. We're written for our learning. That purpose, we, through patience, there's your little word, bearing up under the load, patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Verse 5, now the God of patience, this is the God of endurance. He's the God of patience. He's the God. You keep my word of patience, and I'll keep you out of the tribulation. You're going to honor me. I'm going to honor you. That's what we're going to do. So therefore, verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation, comfort, grant you to be like-minded and toward one another, and according to Christ Jesus, gliding over, as you know, the scriptures. Verse 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's right. Thank you, God. Just got to thank you for making it all work out, that you may abound in hope, expectancy, anticipation, through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is going to get you through it. How's it going to do? One step at a time. Patience. I'm going to end chapter Romans. You know, to go back there, Romans 3 and verse chapter, Revelation 3 and verse 10. I'll keep thee from the hour of temptation, the hour, the great tribulation, because you keep the word of my patience. Now, how am I going to keep the word? Patience, I'm going to hang in there, you know. Now some help on that. Romans and chapter 5. In Romans in chapter 5, and what have we got? Picking up, if I may, in verse 2. Well, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 5, Romans 5, 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hope is the one that's stimulus. We share that 100,000 times. Because every minute now you're here, you have to go to the next minute. And you, whatever you're living through right this second, 5 minutes from now, it's all gone. It's all gone. All gone. And you can't stop it. So we might be depressed, discouraged, disappointed. But wait a minute. And hang in there. My patience. You're going to look to God. Because you have to work it out. You have to go through. Obviously, if you fall down and break and get a bloody nose, you'll have to get it fixed. Obviously. So you're going to have trouble. And we do stupid things in stupid ways. And we do them. And you have to go through them. That's what you have to do. So, now, chapter 5, picking up, please. And verse 3. And not only so, hope to the glory of God, but we glory in tribulations. And also knowing that tribulation worketh, there's your little word, patience. You kept the word of my patience. I'm with God, and you're going to honor my, I'm going to hang in there and finish it. You're going to hang in there. If you hang in there and I hang in there, it's all going to come out even. Now, in a good way. Therefore, knowing the tribulation worketh patience, and patience, what's that going to do? It's going to make you have a lot of experience. You know all the different illustrations used. You use the key to get in your house. And you get in the house the first time they did it, you didn't know whether the key would work. After 4,000 other times, you're very comfortable with the key. You're very confident in the key. Your expectation. You've been trusting God, and you go through 5 minutes. You did it. Then you learn some more, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and you keep learning. The more you learn, the more you don't have any problem learning. The more you understand, you stay right in there, right down the corridor of time. You don't even question. So therefore, in verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, and knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, bearing up under. We learn all kinds, we get educated, and experience produces hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Because we understand I have to go to the next step. History has to unwork itself. And all the different things in New York and every place else, all of that has to work out. All of it has to work out. And you have to go through it. And we will go through it. That's the trouble. We will go through it. Now, in verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And the Spirit of God, the God of hope, God's going to do what he does. And God's going to do what he does in a most wonderful way. Now, how are you going to get, where do you find hope? Colossians 1:27. You all know it. The mystery. What is the mystery? And this age of grace, church age, what is this awesome mystery? That Christ in God and God in Christ would be in you, literally. That's a mystery. And no one ever would believe it But I done did do it. I just did it. I did it. I'm going to show my grace by the whosoever is to believe. And so I'm going to show my wonderful grace. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're going to get there. How can you get there? Because Christ said, you keep my patience. You have to get where I'm going. You have to get there. You just have to get there. That's all. Well, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. I know it's different, but I thought you just needed to get an overview of movement, especially in these days, to see that, to say, maybe things will be wonderful. Don't hold your breath. Don't hold your breath. Wow.